to me.
I said they don't know.
They don't know what you mean to me. They don't know what you mean to me.
Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you are to us. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for, it's always a privilege, always a pleasure, always awesome fellowshipping with you, with your people. Thank you for your word. It's never scarce among us. Thank you because you're always speaking to us. You're always backing your word among us. And we give you thanks for it. At this moment, I submit myself to be your mouthpiece. Speak only that which you will have said, and minister according to the power that you supply. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for everyone there on the other side, virtually participating, watching, listening, now or later. Thank you because the same presence here this morning fills their room, fills their office, fills their space, wherever that is, even now. Thank you because none of us remains the same. Because every time we behold your glory in your word, we are transformed. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for the unction to speak clearly, simply but accurately. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. So, if you will, please open your Bibles, open your whatever it is, your tablets, your phones. Somebody once said the scripture says, search the scripture. He didn't say type the scripture. So it means that all these virtual Bibles are not Bibles. You are searching using a search function. There's a search button. God didn't know that. Hallelujah. Are you ready for God's word? Do you love God's word? Amen. I believe God's going to set us free from fear this morning. I will never, ever, ever, ever be afraid again. Can I have a loud amen? Amen. So again, I'm speaking this morning on the untouchables. You know, so 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word devour means to eat up. You know, to eat completely. So when you devour the pounded yam, you know, the way you eat it and the plate, you know, there's a way you eat food and the plate is clean. That if they are not careful, they may go and put it back in the cupboard, you know, because it is clean. So when you do that, you don't say, I ate everything. You say, I devoured it all. Amen. I have devoured the food. Hallelujah. That means there's no bone. There's no palm oil. No stain. Nothing left. I devoured it. Hallelujah. So it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Then he instructs us what to do in verse 9. He says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Amen. So again, like I said, I'm talking about the untouchables. And I said a few things the last time as an introduction. I'll run through them and then move on and complete. So I'd said before that when you look at that text, it first makes it clear that the adversary is the devil. So one of the things you must always do in a battle, one of the most important crucial elements of a battle, is identifying who your adversary is. Is identifying who really you are fighting. Because if you fight the wrong enemy, you are sure to lose the battle. Can I have an amen? And too many believers are fighting the wrong enemy. They are fighting people, they are fighting in-laws, they are fighting you know, all kinds of fights all over the place, but they are missing the point. They are missing the target. The Bible says your adversary is the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said in verse 12, he said, for we do not wrestle. Are you there? He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So meaning that we wrestle. There's a fight going on. There is really a fight. You know when they say this life is a battle, correct? The only thing is that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's for emphasis. Okay, it could simply have gone on and said we wrestle against this and this and this, but he put that there first for emphasis by telling us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Meaning that every time you wrestle against flesh and blood, you are what? Wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time you are taking up your battle against flesh and blood, you are missing it. You are wrong. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and all kinds of spirit beings. That's who we fight against. Meaning that every battle you are faced with is actually the devil and his agents that are behind whoever or whatever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if you must win, you must be able to identify and fight the real enemy. Did you get that? You must be able to identify and fight the real enemy. Because if you stop fighting Mr. A, Mr. B will start fighting you tomorrow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And if Mr. B is not fighting you, Mr. E will fight you. But the devil will come one way or the other. But if you take care of the devil, then even Mr. A, Mr. B, Mr. C, Mr. D, Mr. E will not be fighting you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Proverbs 16 verse 7, I believe it is. The Bible says that when your ways please the Lord, even he will make even your enemies be at peace with you. So if you understand what to do spiritually, then even the so-called enemies that you are looking at can be at peace with you. That's what the Bible is saying. It's saying that even the people that you are dealing with, they are not the real ones. If you handle things right in the spirit, then even those ones can be at peace with you. Can I have an amen? Now, so then he goes on and he says that the real enemy is the devil. He says, and that devil is seeking whom he may devour. The word may there suggests that he cannot devour everybody. The word may suggests that he has to pick and choose. He has to decide on who is capable of taking care of. Because he cannot handle everybody. Are you still with me, anybody? And I was pointing out the last time also that even from those who study wildlife, they will tell you that truly when the lion attacks, he's not attacking everybody. Now, when the lion attacks a, what do they call all of those things? Pride of sheep, I mean, which is pride? What do they call them? What do you call a group of sheep? A flock of sheep. Okay, the lion is the pride of lions. So when the lion shows up and it attacks the flock of sheep, it's not going for all the sheep. As he's chasing the flock of sheep, he's looking for whom he may devour. He's looking for the weak one amongst the sheep. So when he's chasing them and they all start running, he looks which one looks weak. And then he focuses on the one that is weak, and that's the one he goes after. So all of them can scatter in whatever direction. That lion is smart enough to only go for whom he may devour. Are you hearing me? So the whole message is based upon that. The fact that there are certain people that are untouchable. I'm glad to announce this morning that you are one of them. Are you still there? So the devil knows that he can't touch everybody. The only thing is that we also need to know it. Okay? What he uses most of the time is fear. Not everybody respects or fears the devil like many people tend to do. But what will save you and help you to enter into your inheritance, as it were, is your faith in God. I mean, I spoke about Smith Wigglesworth, I spoke about Lester Sumner last time. If you want to hear the stories, go and listen to the last one. Okay? But not everybody fears the devil. What he uses is the fear. He uses fear to incapacitate people. He uses fear as his entry point. Let me put it this way for you. How many people believe in faith? You believe that faith works. Now, faith is what? Believing something. And you believe that what you expect to happen will happen. Okay, fear is faith in the negative. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fear is faith in the negative. It's when you believe strongly that negative things will happen to you. Have you not heard people who will tell you, they say, look, every year on my bad day, I'm always sick. They say, I'm always sick. It's just me. Every bad day of mine, there's no bad day that I will. In fact, there's no way. Every bad day, I will always be sick. And then their bad day comes and they fall sick that day. They say, you see, I told you. And I say, your faith is working. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your faith is working. The devil has gotten you to a place where you believe it. Listen, when God was speaking to the devil about Job, the devil was complaining and saying that Job is untouchable. But when trouble came, what did Job say? He said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Job chapter 3, verse 25. So what opened up the door? Listen, when God and the devil were having a conversation, Job 1, 9 and 10, it was very clear that Job was well protected. But Job opened up a door with his fear. Are you still with me? So when he says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11, he says we are not ignorant of the wiles. The word wiles is the word trick or tricks. Okay? What is the main trick of the devil? It is fear. A weapon called fear. It gets you to start being afraid of something. You start confessing it. We've talked about the power of our confession earlier this morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It gets you to start saying and uttering your fear, and you start creating your world. And as it's happening, you say, hey, you see, that's what I said. You see, that's what I said. Yeah, you are walking according to scriptures. Are you still with me? Can I say this to you? Have you ever wondered that if the devil could do all what he said he could do to you, why has he not done it? Are you hearing me? He said he will kill you. Why has he not killed you? Because he likes you. He changed his mind. He had gone soft. He became born again. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Oh, I will kill you. I will kill you. I will kill you on that job. Kill me now. You know, when you go on the bus, you know, we learn that growing up, that when you sit on the street, in the garage, and you see people who have, they've offended themselves, and you want to say, I feel like I'm doing my boy. You know, he said when he's talking like that, bragging, I will beat him up. I will beat him up. I will just kill him. It's a lie. He can't kill him. He's afraid. The one that gets up and you have offended him before you have said, hey, he has done wah, wah. Run from that one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That one is ready to fight. He's not the one that is bragging and telling you what he will do, what he will do, what he will do, what he will do. He's waiting for people to come and separate them. You understand? So he's spending all the time so that there'll be some people that say, calm down, calm down. Say, if not for these people, if not for these people. He's not ready. But the one that has already hit you twice, gua gua. Oh boy, make up your mind. If you can't fight him, beg him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If the devil can do everything he has said he can do, why has he not done it? Are you still there? I mean, the father of Joel Osteen, Pastor John, late Pastor John Osteen, said he had a terrible fear of flying. That if he flew, he'll be so afraid. The plane is going to crash. They will tell him, I will kill you in the plane. He said, so he will take the train. Whenever he's going anywhere, he said, he'll go on the train. He said, and even on the train, the devil will start telling him, I'll kill you. I will kill you when next you fly. I will kill you when next you fly. He said, until one day he said to himself, okay, if he can kill me, kill me. He said, so he made up his mind. He went to get on plane and just flew everywhere, flew everywhere. So, yeah, kill me now. And he didn't die. Are you hearing me? He didn't even die of a plane crash. In a plane crash, when he finally died. Are you still with me? Listen, I mean, when COVID started last year, because what I'm saying that is this, sometimes we just need to even rationalize. And we realize that the devil is using fear a lot. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says that Jesus came that he might deliver those who through all their lives have been held bondage through the fear of death. They were not held bondage by death, because death is a one-time event. Are you with me? Death is one time. There's no big deal to death. One time, it's gone. That's death. He said, but what the devil uses to hold them in bondage is the fear of it. The fear of it. So people are afraid. They are afraid and they are held in bondage all of their lives. So when COVID broke out and I needed to go to the UK, the devil was telling me, this is it. I will deal with you. You've had asthma and this is a respiratory disease. It is very contagious. It's everywhere. I will deal with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I had to sit on God's word and say, no. He said what? That he would deliver us from the perilous pestilence. And you have to stand on God's word. If you stand on God's word and get rid of the fear, then you will discover that the devil really cannot do what he said he can do. He has only been using that to terrorize you. You know why terrorists are called terrorists? It's because their main weapon is fear. Okay, their main weapon is fear. So whatever they do it to get people to be afraid of them. It's not really about what they can do. It's first and foremost about what they can make you fear that they can do. Are you still here, anybody? So what do we do with that devil, with that adversary? The Bible says whom? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9. It says whom resist steadfast. Can I hear it say steadfast? He said whom resist steadfast in the faith. So the way to tackle that devil is, the Bible says, stand steadfast. Refuse to be moved from faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So go to God's word. Get what God's word has to say on that matter and stand steadfast on God's word. Stand upon it, whether you feel like it or not. Stand there, believe it, meditate it, speak it. Are you with me? Now, why? When he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith? Because when you resist the devil, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if you can stand steadfast in the faith and resist him, whom resist steadfast in the faith, the answer or what will happen is that the devil will flee from you. The word flee means not just to leave you alone, but it means to run as in terror. So the devil all of a sudden will take off running, showing all of the fear of you that he has. Are you still with me, anybody? You know, I've said before, I mean, years ago, I knew what it meant to flee. I'd gone to visit a friend. We used to go to an after-school lesson. And if we arrive early, there are places we could go to, friends' houses we would go to. So we arrived at the lesson early. I discovered, or I knew my friends were at a friend's place around the corner. So I decided to go there. And when I arrived, their dog was loose. But I did not know. So I opened the gate. I entered the gate and the dog welcomed me. And as the dog welcomed me, I fled. I didn't run, I fled. There was terror all over my face. The way I was running, I would have belonged in Nigeria's Olympic team. Pastor MY, with all his bragging of sprinting, would not have caught up with me. With my timing, my 100 meter timing of that day was fantastic. You know, when you, I knew the meaning of flee that day. Because as I fled and I ran and ran and ran, you know, you run at your utmost best. After a while, my heel, the heel of my leg, hit the jaw of the dog. So the dog caught up with me. But he didn't know that I had gear 5. When I felt the timbwa, I increased the speed. Even me didn't know I had gear 5. But my speed increased again and I shot off. Have you ever watched those cartoons before? When they stand, they say, that's the way I went. Even the dog would have thought, what kind of person is it? But I fled. Now, that's how exactly the devil will do with you. if you will resist him steadfast in the faith. You know, the story was told of Smith Wigglesworth. Said there was a day he went to the bus stop and he was watching a lady. A lady was coming to take the bus. But as she was coming, a little dog was following her. And they got to the bus stop and they stayed there. And then they looked at it, they saw the bus was coming down the road. And the lady said to the dog, shoo, shoo, go back home, go back home. And the dog stood there wagging his tail. And the man said, hey, the bus is coming, go back, go back, go back. And the dog stood there wagging his tail. You know. And then as the bus got very close, the man said, go! And the dog ran back to the house. And Smith Wigglesworth got a message and said, that's how you need to treat the devil. Are you with me? That's how you need to treat the devil. Resist him steadfast. Be firm. Don't take it lightly. Don't stand there and wonder. You know, if I say it, will it happen? If I say it, what will happen? You know, this is what happened to this one. This is what happened to that one. This one said he was believing God. Who cares? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If it's written in the word, you stand upon it, believe it, and so shall it be. I like Psalm 119 verse 89. He says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It means there's not going to be any national assembly. There's not going to be a, what do they call them, national conference to decide which part of the scripture can come to pass. It's settled. Are you hearing me? All the Bible is looking for is who will believe it. And act as if it's true, and then you will see it come to pass in your own life. Can I have an amen? So now, how do you build, resist him steadfast in the faith, but faith begins where the will or the word of God is known. So you'll have to know the word. You'll have to know what exactly do you believe. Okay? So what are the things that make us untouchable from the scriptures? And I'm standing largely on the New Testament. We can go through myriads of scripture in the Old Testament. There are too many. I mean, the Bible talks about as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds those that fear him. It means that whoever needs to get to you needs to go through God. Are you with me? Listen, you know, we're also in an environment where people believe all kinds of things. And I always just think, why would you believe it? Okay, there are too many people that have insulted the devil and witches and wizards that if there was enough power in all of those things to take care of them, they would have been taken care of. Are you still with me? But as the mountains surround Jerusalem, it says the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him, Psalm 34 verse 7, and delivers them. So you have all kinds of promises, you know, and as we were studying this morning, that we're in a new covenant based upon better promises. One of the things that occurs to me when I read that verse of a scripture in Hebrews chapter 8 is that every promise that I can find under the New Testament is 10 times better in the New. Are you hearing me? Is that if I can find it in the Old, if they can enjoy it in the Old, I can enjoy it much more. Because I'm in a better covenant that is based on even better promises. Are you still there? So if God, for instance, if under the Old Testament, God could heal his people, under the Old Testament, God could keep them healthy because the Bible says that he brought them out with silver and gold and there was not one feeble amongst them. Talking about when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Okay? There was not one feeble among them. Historians tell us that there were at least 3 million men. Okay? Let's even assume 3 million people. So there were 3 million people and not one of them was sick. If God could preserve 3 million people for 40 years, not one was feeble among them, what can he do for me now? So Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says that not only can he keep me, he says that he gives divine life. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. Jesus was speaking in John chapter 5, and he said, as the Father has life in himself, so has he given life to the Son. And as the Father quickens the dead, so the Son also quickens whomsoever he wills. Am I going too deep? It means that beyond keeping me healthy, he makes me a life giver. in the New Testament. Not only can he keep me healthy, but he makes me a life giver. That's why John Gillick could stand and he said there's bubonic plague killing everybody, and John Gillick is helping them to bury the dead and helping them to sort things out. And they say, how come you are not affected by this thing? And the man says, I will show you how come. I have life. And he showed them and said, put the fin on my hand, put the spittle and all of that with all the bacteria, put it on my hand and look at it under the microscope. So they took the spittle, they looked at it, they saw the bacteria moving, and they put it on his hand and they put the microscope over it and looked, and they saw everything died. So the Old Testament was good for health. The New Testament took him to another level of divine life. Are you still there? So what are we standing on? What do we resist the devil with that makes us untouchable? Number one, we are outside of his kingdom. We are outside of his grip, the Bible says. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. You know, I was thinking, when I was thinking about this, when you hear, for instance, a man say to you that, help me, oh, my wife wants to kill me. She's a witch. She wants to kill me. Listen to me. It's a lie. Somebody say, how can you say that? Do you know them? No, I don't need to know them. If she wants to kill him, he'll be dead. You understand? If she wanted to kill him, he'll be dead. It's his body we will carry. And then start investigating who killed him or why she killed him. Abby? Everything Pastor Edward is sitting for inside, does he know? It's as a day that tells you bangan stash. Are you still there? Where the banga is coming from? What is in the banga? Does he know? Even Jeremy is just there when he arrives. So hi, that's a man. He says, yeah. Then he says she wants to kill you. You'll be dead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So whoever has the power, if they wanted to kill you, you'll be dead. The devil doesn't have the power we have ascribed to him. Are you there? He doesn't have what we give to him. Because if he did, he's not very kind. The Bible says that he doesn't come. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Meaning that every opportunity he gets, he will use it. Are you with me? So the only reason why he has not used it is because he doesn't have it. Hallelujah. Have you found Colossians 1 yet? Look at Colossians 1 verse 13. The Bible says he, talking about Jesus, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his son. So there's something about belonging to the kingdom of his son that delivers you from the control or the power of darkness. I mean, there are several translations that I would love to read here. The ERV version says, God made us free. God made us free from the power of darkness because he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Listen to the Amplified. He said, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself. Out of the control. Can I hear you say out of the control? Out of the control and dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the son of his love. I read one more, the Passion Translation. He said he has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved son. Listen, you are out of the tyrannical rule of the kingdom of darkness. So, you know that scripture that talks about we are in this world, but we are not of this world. What that means is a reference to some of the things that have also scriptures that have been said this morning when we're praying. We talked about citizenship. Are you with me? Can I hear you say citizenship? Don't be confused by the fact that you are in Nigeria. You have a Nigerian passport or Nigerian birth certificate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't be confused. Our citizenship is in heaven. That was what? Ephesians 2:18. Then Philippians 3:20 tells us our citizenship is in heaven. Let me explain. You see, in natural parlance, there are certain people that are said to have what you call diplomatic immunity. It means even though they live where you live, they are not subject to the laws around them. So when the American ambassador, when he drives and he passes the red light, he does not stop at the red light. Oh, God help the last man that stops him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even if he likes, let it be mobile police. God help the mobile police, last man or soldier that arrests him. I'm going to say, why? Because he has diplomatic immunity. Meaning, he's not subjected to the laws of your land. For you, you can complain, but all you can do is write and complain to his bosses and say, this man is doing all sorts of things. We don't want him here anymore. But you can't arrest him and take him to jail. It's not possible. So what the Bible is saying is that you and I have diplomatic immunity. We are here, but we have been delivered from the tyrannical rule of darkness. Are you hearing me? Look at 1 John chapter 5. So what confuses us is because we are here. And unfortunately also, we then forget our identities. Are you with me? We forget about our identity. So what happens to the man next to us, we assume should happen to us. But whatever happens to the man next to you doesn't have to be your lot. Because you are a diplomat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. We are ambassadors of Christ. You are different. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's why it says what? 1,000 can fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So that it happened to them shouldn't confuse you. And you say, how can you say everybody's out? You say, no, I won't have it. Oh no, it won't happen to me. How can you be talking like that? I say, because my citizenship is in heaven. Are you with me? That's how we speak, because we are different. And the more you meditate upon it, and the more you stand steadfast in the faith, the more it becomes your experience. Hallelujah. Have you found 1 John 5? The Bible says in verse 19, he said that we know. Can I hear you say we know? So there are certain things you don't guess about. There are some things you have to know them. You just know them. You have to be, they have to be your personal knowledge, conviction. He said, we know that we are of God. We know that we are of God. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So we know we are different. That's what he's telling you. We know what the whole world lies under, but we know that we, when it comes to we are of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So what happens to A should not happen to B necessarily. Not even what happens to a believer should get you to start doubting and changing your mind, because you don't have all the details. As long as God's word has not changed, stand on God's word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That something happened to this person, you don't know. The secret things belong to God. But you stand, go and check it again and see. If what God said in the Bible has not changed, then stand upon it. Resist him steadfast in the faith. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says that they took James, killed him. Herod took James and killed him. He saw it pleased the people. So he took Peter and wanted to kill him also. And then the Bible says, I think verse 5, he said, but constant prayer was offered up by the church to God. But constant prayer. What that also suggests to me is that the church didn't pray like that when James was arrested. Are you with me? So why James died, I don't know. There are two things I believe about the deliverance of Peter in Acts chapter 12. I believe the church prayed and they made power available. And I also believe that Peter stood steadfast in the faith. Because the Bible says constant prayer was offered up by the church for Peter. He said, and the night before he was to be slain, Peter was asleep. And an angel came and smote him and woke him up and took him out of the prison. But it tells me, number one, that you don't sleep the night before you are to be killed. Except you believe something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you knew that tomorrow there was trouble coming your way, you don't sleep. You know, you spend that night praying. Some people will do it confessing. Abi, they start, God, the earliest sin I remember was when I was 1 year old and 6 months. I'm sorry for it, Lord, forgive me. You spend all night repenting. All kinds of things will be happening all night. But the Bible says that Peter was asleep. He didn't try to sleep. He slept. And he slept very soundly, that the angel had to not wake him up. He smote him. Oh, by dear. The angel had to hit the man hard because the sleep was very deep. Are you with me? So what happens to A doesn't have to happen to B. Can I have an amen? Okay, so whom resists steadfast in the faith? Number two, why can we stand? What are we building our faith upon? Is that we have authority. Can I hear you say we have authority? Authority largely, because when it says in James chapter 4, authority is dependent on who is backing you. Okay, many times I've been on the road, I've seen people fighting. I've seen people fighting with law enforcement before. And I've seen law enforcement arresting people that I knew that they could not arrest. Do you know what I mean? When you see a policeman arresting a guy who is big, and the guy is telling him, if not for your uniform, he's serious about it. You understand? That if not for that uniform, the way would have beaten that policeman, and everybody there knows that if not for the uniform. But what is that uniform signifying? Authority. That the guy doesn't have to be as big as him. What he's exercising is his authority over him, irrespective of the power that he has. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus said when he rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, go therefore. That's what you call delegated authority. Are you with me? That's delegation. So he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I now send you. Take my authority and go in that authority. So when you go around and we start saying, in the name of Jesus, it's not the sound just of the name. It's that when you mention the name, the devil remembers who it is you are talking about. Are you with me? And he remembers that he suffered day and night, 3 nights in hell. He remembered that when Jesus dealt with them, the Bible says that he made a public show of the devil. So when Jesus beat up the devil and came out of hell, the Bible says he made a public show of him. So when you say in the name of Jesus, the devil remembers, that's the bros that beat me. That's the bros that showed me. That's the bros. You know, so is that Jesus is remembering that he has to cower to? Are you still there? Let me show you a scripture I like very much and which you should know. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Are you getting anything yet? You know, when I was in secondary school, before I went to the Tush secondary school. But we had school two. Deepo knows school two. Have we? There's school two. We had a place behind the dining hall. You know what I'm talking about. And there were some fights. Akola knows what I'm saying. There were some fights that take place there. The problem with some of those fights is that when you fight the fight there, the loser comes out to deny it. Because people were not there. They didn't see. You understand? You were hiding from the authorities, but they did not see. The students did not see. So the guy can come and say, I beat him. He say, no, he make it. He didn't beat me. Because the people were not there when they fought. Are you with me? But when Jesus beat the devil, the Bible says he then brought him out of school too. And made a public show so that everybody knew that that devil is a defeated foe. Are you still there? Now also I'll tell you another school story from there. When I got in, we used to have a gentleman. He was not a student. I think maybe he was a student before something. I don't, but he was not a student. But he used to hang around that place a lot. Called him Oscar. You know now the way I said it. I think you may not have seen him, but you would have heard of him. His reputation definitely precedes him. And there was a day, you know, I mean, we were watching from one of the tallest buildings. There was outside the fence. There was a place also that students would hang out, and there were policemen that came to arrest Oscar. This, I mean, oh God, there are people who are notorious. And this guy was beating them black and blue. He would grab them like this, knock their head. Why? I mean, you'll be watching like you're watching WWF. He was beating them like, ah. And if I remember another day, they said, so they said, I mean, somebody was angry, a parent, and said he was going to get the police and she was coming to get him arrested. So Oscar just went, sat under one staircase outside the school, and told her, he said, when they come, tell them I'm here. He said, I hope it's not those Ekududu, he called them. He said, I hope that she brings mobile. Are you with me? I said, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Why am I saying that? Sometimes also it looks like there is power that displays and looks like it's bigger than authority. But we are also going to go to where we will see at the end of the day that if you want to go down that route, even the devil doesn't have the power. Are you still there? But let's look at Luke chapter 10 first. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. It says, behold. Behold means take a very good look. Look at it well. Behold, I give to you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over what? All the power of enemy. All the power of enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. I think it was emphatic enough. All over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I remember listening to Reverend George Adigboye, and he said he moved to a place many years ago, and he got to that neighborhood, and they were telling him, they said, look, there's one tree there that witches meet there at midnight or thereabout, that they meet there at night. He said, and truly he saw that there were all kinds of issues around the neighborhood. He said, so he told himself that Jesus has given me authority. He said, so now that I have come to this neighborhood, they are free. He said, so when it got to midnight, he carried his chair and he went to sit by the tree, under that tree. He said, he sat there and he said, I want to see who we meet here while I'm here. He said he sat there 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, every night, nobody came. No activity. He said, and that was the end. They never met there anymore. The woman who kept having, she said every time that they would meet like that and they would hear noises, the woman would have an abortion. He said after that, the woman conceived and bore the child. Are you still there? I mean, years ago, I had somebody who drove me, who was in church, and he had tormented. So we traveled, we were in the battle, and he told me, he said, in fact, he doesn't sleep well. So we were talking, he said, he doesn't sleep at all, you know, blah, blah, you know, those kind of things, that he just, all kinds of issues. So I told him, I said, well, you are with me. I said, so there's no way, you are with me, you will sleep. We woke up the next morning, the guy said, in fact, this is the first time in a long time. Because the devil is not permitted to have activity where you are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because you have authority. Again, we'll have people who will come and pray. They come and pray for us as a family. I mean, when I was growing up and I'd gotten born again, filled with the Spirit, I knew what the Word of God said. And I knew that they were operating by familiar spirits. They will come and they will give prophecy here, prophecy there. So I said, no. I said, I take authority over that spirit. Not anymore. Not anymore. Will that function with me? So as they prayed for everybody, the next time they got to me and the man prayed and prayed and prayed, and he just said, "Alafia." I moved on and I started to smile, because I said to myself, we know. You and me, we know. You know, the spirit knows where the authority lies. Are you hearing me? Let's move very quickly. The power. Because like I said, sometimes it looks like there are people who have power and they even disobey authority and all of that. I want to say to you that the devil doesn't even have the power that it takes for him to be able to confront you successfully. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Remember, I'm basing all of this, like we read this morning, on the new covenant. I'm basing them on the new covenant. What we have as our new covenant, the better promises we have. Number one, we have a new identity. Amen. We are ambassadors, therefore we enjoy diplomatic immunity. Number two, we have authority. So when we say it, the devil has to obey. Just like when the man did, the centurion came to Jesus and he said, you know, is it my son or my servant is sick? And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. He said, no, you don't need to come. He said, for I am a man under authority. I say to some, come, and they come. I say to another, go, and he goes. What's the man saying? He's saying, because I have authority, I am submitted to an authority, then I also have authority. Okay? And that's what he was saying in James chapter 4, by saying submit to God. So when you submit to God, then you have the authority. You can take authority. And when you say to some, come, they come. When you say to another, go, they go. What you say will have to be obeyed. I ran into a lady recently. She used to be in fellowship many, many, many years ago. SGO in Ibadan. And I was teaching along these lines, the authority of the believer. And she was in the University of Ibadan, Queen's Hall. And they always told us then about the cats. The cats were numerous. Numerous cats. And that those cats would gather at night. And they would be as if they were really, something was going on. And it wasn't one, not two, not three. Several people were there. We tell you that there's something strange going on. So I was speaking and teaching along those lines. Apparently, that lady was in fellowship. And she said, apparently those cats used to gather by her window. But she learned that she had authority. So she went back and she spoke, gave the command, faith command, and said, from today I forbid you to gather here and to have, I mean, whatever gathering it is. Guess what? From that day, the cat stopped gathering by a window. Are you with me? Where did I tell you to open? Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. He said, inasmuch then as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might do what? Destroy him who what? Had. Can I hear you say had? Who had the power of death. That is the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want you to take note of the fact that it says, who had. The devil is like the Nigerian big man. Are you with me? Who, when they introduce him, you must say everything. Former House of Rep member. Former senator. Former DG. Former this. Former that. What are you now, Oga? All these former. Even in emails, some people former. What are you? Are you with me? So the devil is a former had the power. Who had means he had it before. He does not have it now. Are you still there? That's why he has not killed you. Are you hearing me? I repeat it again. It's not because he got born again. It's because he had the power of death. He doesn't have it now. You can empower him with fear, but on a good day, he does not have the power. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 8, are you there? So John the Revelator, Abi? John who wrote the book of Revelation saw Jesus. And then he said, this is what Jesus said when he appeared to him in verse 8. He said, I am the Alpha, that's the beginning, Abi, and the Omega, that means the end. The beginning and the end. Okay, Alpha and Omega are what? Is it the Roman numerals or whatever they are? So he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come. Okay? Now look at verse 18. He says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have what? The keys of Hades and death. So why else can I stand my ground? I know the one who has the power. And the one who has the power is for me. He's on my side. That's why I can say in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 that you have overcome them, little children. For greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Because the one who is in you is the one that now has what? The power. I said hallelujah.
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 So Jesus has the power. Amen. You know, so as we get in, we are in November, and you can see the devil play his hand. By the time you get to October, they start singing to you, we are entering Ember Month, Ember Month, Ember Month, Ember Month, Ember Month. Why? Because the devil needs to play up the fair. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then people start saying, close festivity. Hey, all kinds of things happen to people. Hey, may we not go with the festivities? So, hey. Why? Because the devil needs to play up the fair in order to have his way. But whom we resist steadfast in the faith, and he will flee from us. Let's stand on our feet. So we resist him steadfast, knowing that we have God, knowing that we have authority, knowing that he who has the power is backing us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me.
And I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me.
But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong.
Lord, I see my heart.
Heal my heart and show yourself strong.
Heal my heart.
remember, there is an adversary at work. He's the one who gets behind the circumstances, even behind the people sometimes, to turn things against you, to fight you, to make sure things don't work for you. Now I want you to take your authority and declare. Take charge of a situation. Commit it to God and take authority and declare. And once you do it this morning, make up your mind that when that situation comes back to mind, you will never speak against that which you declared this morning, but you will just thank God that your word, the command, has gone forth and things are turning around. So begin to talk to God. I don't know what it is about you. Impossible is nothing with God. Impossible is nothing with God. That's what the song is about. Impossible is nothing with God. So bring back the impossibles. Bring back the impossibles. Authority, like I said a few times, comes out of your submission to God. So you'll have to be submitted to God. You'll have to be born again. You'll have to have that relationship with God that emboldens you. And if today you don't have it, you can have it in an instant, in a moment. So right where you are, you need to be born again, or you need to build that fellowship with God. Then you can put your right hand on your chest and talk to God and say, Lord, I'm here this morning. I'm here this morning. I know you are my Savior. I know you are my Lord. I commit to living and serving you and fellowshipping with you accordingly. Accept the sacrifice on the cross that washed away my sins. And I thank you for saving me. Amen. Thank you for everyone praying that here or watching. Thank you, Lord, because you are able to keep them. You are able to keep them and strengthen them. Thank you for bringing them back in fellowship. Thank you because you preserve them spirit, soul, and body. They will increase in their knowledge of you. They will deepen their walk with you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. And Father, I stand in agreement with everyone this morning. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, we'll stand knowing that your will and your plan is that we enjoy victory. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph always. And so I stand that they will enjoy victory in every area of life, in everything they have desired, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for even healings, deliverances. That which has held them bound for so long is broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give you praise in Jesus' name.